Well, have you started your spring cleaning yet? You started in the yard, picking up sticks, getting that first mow in, cleaning up those flower beds. Maybe you've begun the process of washing your car a little bit more frequently with all the pollen that's falling. Maybe you've begun that process of getting the patio furniture out and cleaning it up and putting it out and getting the garage straightened up. You know, most of us know what it is to have to clean up, do we not? We clean up the kitchen, the family room, the bedrooms, the bathrooms. We clean up the toys. We clean up the garage, the dishes. We clean up our floors, our clothes. And the list kind of goes on when it comes to cleaning things up. And it not only goes on, but the thing about it is it happens again and again. Remember when I was just out of college and I was working at McDonald's and hadn't had opportunity to get involved in Christian ministry yet. And as I was just working there in the summer, they asked me if I would want to be part of their management program. And so I didn't really want to do that. That's what the Lord called me to, because I knew it would have driven me crazy. Because if you ever worked at a fast food place and if you've ever had to close, you know what it's like and all the work that goes into getting that restaurant closed, where things are cleaned up and swept up and the trash is thrown out and all those things after a busy day where the floors have gotten messy and greasy and all those types of things. When you get to the end of the day, we would finally leave at about 11 o'clock or 11:30 at night and everything was finally cleaned. But then if you had to open the next day, you had to be there by 5:30 or so to get ready for breakfast, and it wasn't within 30 minutes that floor and that place looked like it had never been cleaned. And it was just so frustrating to me. I guess being task-oriented, I kind of want to just check things off the list. And in that type of business, you're not able to do that. So you know, we all know what it's like to have to clean, but we also know that it's important that we understand that we have to clean again and again. We spend a lot of time cleaning, do we not? We know what it is to have to do it again and again. Well, that illustration can really be instructive to us, and it can even possibly be convicting to us this morning, because we ask ourselves the question that how could something be so clean and tidy one day and so unclean and so untidy the next? And so that leads us to our theme this morning. Our theme this morning is this, is that we must work at our personal holiness. We must work at our personal holiness. How often in our lives, if you're a Christian here this morning, have you experienced God's Spirit and truth moving in your hearts, and you're drawn towards that truth, you're drawn towards that work, but yet so quickly we set aside that truth that can be so helpful to us, and we quickly make a mess of things. You ever done that? Moved by a truth, Spirit of God works in you. You're moving towards personal holiness in your life, and all of a sudden, we lay that truth aside, and we make a mess of things in our lives again spiritually. Right? How is it that we can be clean and tidy in our Christian life one day and in one moment, and in a moment, I can be untidy or unspiritual? It seems like we just need in our own lives spiritually to keep cleaning again and again. And that is the reality, is it not? Isn't that the reality of the Christian life? Isn't that the truth in the Christian life? That we live in a body, in a flesh that is characterized by corruption. Yes, we're saved. The Spirit of God dwells within us. But yet, this body is corrupt. And until we put off this corruption, and until we are in that glorified state where we don't struggle with sin any longer, we're going to continue to experience this struggle in our lives. This reality in our lives of having to cleanse ourselves or be cleansed again and again. So it's good for us to have the mindset that, yeah, I know what it is to struggle with sin. And I know what it is to be clean and walking in God's way. And then I know what it is to fall as well at other times. That is the reality of the Christian life. And so this morning the text admonishes us with this one main idea. And let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so the thrust of this text this morning is this. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And so it has the idea of cleaning up again, of cleaning up again. Let me clarify as we start looking at this text that this text is written to believers. He uses the expression dearly beloved, an expression of those who have shared in the love of God. This is our bond, the love of God and sharing in that love of God. We have known the love of God. We are His. We are called beloved. We are believers. And so this text is addressed to believers. Because if you're an unbeliever here this morning, you do not work to cleanse yourself. Okay? An unbeliever does not work to cleanse themselves. The Pharisees tried to do that in the New Testament. They tried to cleanse themselves. And we, in our sinfulness, can't cleanse ourselves. And I'll say more about that a little bit later. And so that's why this text is not written to unbelievers, because we can't cleanse ourselves. But this verse is written to believers. And so a sinner is made clean through faith in Christ, and I'll say a little bit more about that. However, when we, as those that are now believers, trusted in Christ, and we were justified, we were declared righteous and right standing with God, we understand that, right? Positionally, we are righteous in Christ because of our faith in Christ. And yet we all know as believers that we still sin at times. We still struggle. We are tempted. We still yield to temptation instead of yielding to the Spirit. And we sin. We know that struggle. James 1 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I have tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And so we as believers know that struggle in our lives of what it is to struggle with sin. Well, what do we do then? What do we do as believers when we know that struggle, where we could be tidy and clean at one moment, but we can set aside God's truth at a period of time in our lives, and we find ourselves spiritually unclean? What do we do? Well, this text gives us the instruction of what we do. We cleanse ourselves. We cleanse ourselves. Not because we as believers have some ability to make ourselves clean. We don't have any ability, even as believers, to make ourselves clean. But he is saying here that we choose to cleanse ourselves based upon what you know of the cleansing that Christ has given you. Based upon what you and I know as believers of the cleansing that Christ has given us, we choose to be cleansed, is what it's saying. So, as a believer, we're told in the book of Timothy to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We are to strive towards obedience or towards sanctification. We are called as believers to make right choices. We are called to obey God's commands. We are called in that moment of decision to choose to please God and not to please ourselves. And so we have a choice this morning as well. We have a choice as believers, if our lives are soiled by sin, we have a choice this morning to choose whether we are going to cleanse ourselves based upon what we know of the cleansing that is offered in Jesus Christ. But how do we do that? How do we cleanse ourselves? Well, we as believers have to come back to the cross of Christ and realize that because Christ died for sin, my sin can be forgiven, all right, as a believer. 1 John 1:9, if we confess or agree with God about our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most of you know this, but maybe some guests that don't. We believe that once a person accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and their original sin is forgiven, they are God's child forever. There's nothing they can do to lose that salvation. But as believers, we can sin against God, and that relationship, that fellowship with God, can be broken, sort of like marriage. Once you're married, all right? And just because you have sin and difficulty in that marriage doesn't mean that that marriage is void or null. It means that that relationship has simply been broken. And for you and your spouse to have that relationship and that communion with one another that God intended, there needs to be that restoration, that forgiveness. And so we as believers know that when we sin, the way that we cleanse ourselves is by going to the cross of Christ and receiving the forgiveness that God has promised to us. So I must come confessing my sin, and then God promises to cleanse. So the cleansing is not so much for believers as related to my ability to cleanse myself. but to bring myself in line with what God has said about being cleansed. That's what we do. Okay? So I want you to think this morning. Answer these questions in your own heart. What is it that beat you up this week and made you feel unclean? What was it this week that made you feel defiled? What was it this week that made you feel that, say to yourself, well, I'm not a very good Christian? What made you feel that way? Think about that. What made you feel unclean, defiled, or that you weren't a very good Christian? And know today that the apostle admonishes you this morning and admonishes me this morning to cleanse ourselves. That's what the admonition is. So we need to stop making sin like some ugly monster that we just can't shake. But we need to see that sin was a door that we chose to walk through. And now we have a choice of whether we're going to be cleansed of that sin. And so God is saying to us today, look at what I have done for you in Christ. And here is my plan for you when you sin. Isn't that wonderful that God has given us a plan as believers, as his children, of what we are to do when we do sin? Do you want cleansing? Are you longing for cleansing this morning? You know, sometimes you say, I can't wait to get a shower. I just can't wait to get a shower. We long for that physical cleansing. But are we longing for spiritual cleansing this morning? And so if that's the case, then the admonition of Scripture is here to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We must work at our personal holiness. And so this morning we want to look at three reasons why I need to pursue holiness or cleansing in my life. Three reasons why you as a believer this morning need to pursue cleansing or holiness in your life. Number one reason why I need to pursue cleansing in my life is this: because our holiness is easily contaminated by the presence of sin. If we stand as Christians justified, sanctified, are set apart, we have the Spirit of God that dwells within us, the third person of the Trinity, okay? We need to make sure, understand that we need to be cleansed of sin because holiness is easily contaminated by the presence of sin. That is why there is this initial exhortation to cleanse yourselves. Well, what are we to cleanse ourselves from? Well, the text says that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We are to cleanse ourselves from all that sin that has crept in this week. We have to ask ourselves the question, what sin has crept into my life this week, and I need to be cleansed of that? Is it things that that have been there for a while, maybe? Or maybe they've been there for a while, and this sin has been there in our lives, as subtle as it may be, for a while, and we've become comfortable with that sin. Well, if that's the case, we need to cleanse ourselves of that. You know, it's easy for we as Christians to become comfortable with sin. Many of you, whether you work blue collar, white collar, when you come home, you probably change into an attire that is more comfortable, do you not? Or cleaner, depending upon what your job is. So you may have a favorite pair of jeans, you may have a favorite pair of shorts, you have maybe have a favorite pair of sweatpants, and that's what you put on when you get home from work that particular day. And you kind of lounge around in them. It's not like you do a lot of hard labor in them. You kind of lounge around in them. You kind of prepare dinner, maybe grill a little bit, maybe clean up after dinner and that type of thing. And you can wear those same shorts, those same jeans, or those same sweatpants and put them on when you arrive home from work. You can wear them 2 or 3 weeks in a row without them ever being laundered, right? And you say, well, they're not that dirty. It's not like I'm, building a house or anything. I'm just kind of lounging around, getting a few things done around the house. And until you look closely at them, you start to realize, these are a little dirtier than I thought. That barbecue sauce that I was spreading on the chicken there is a spot there. Or maybe you went out and you watered the flowers or you watered the plants or something like that. And you notice on the cuffs of those jeans, they've picked up some dirt and some soil. And when you begin to look at them, they were dirtier than you thought. And that can happen in our lives as well. What has happened this week or in our lives that we have just kind of gone through life and our lives, our hearts have become soiled with sin? We sort of become comfortable with it. We don't even really notice it anymore. But yet our lives have become defiled by sin. All right? And so it's so easy for that to happen. And so some of us in a week's time, we've watched this or we've watched that on TV or our computer. We've kind of said this or that. We've maybe talked about this person or that person, and we just start doing those things, and we don't realize the defilement that can start piling up in our lives. And so, why do I mention these things? Well, it's to get our minds thinking, to get ourselves asking the question: What in my life has gone unconfessed? What in my life have I become comfortable with because I no longer even think about it? All right? And so that's why I bring those things up, because we need to think about these things. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, try me, know my heart." We have to start thinking about those things. No, it can even affect our worship on the Lord's Day. We can't worship God in spirit or in truth because we have lived our week in this lackadaisical attitude that anything goes. And we indulge in stuff that begins to soil our hearts. And so that can be a characterization of our week spiritually, and that then we come in here and we can't worship the Lord as we ought to worship the Lord. So what is the Spirit of God telling you to be cleansed of this morning? You know, sin easily infiltrates our lives. You know, we don't have to go somewhere to sin. We don't have to go out and do something sinful. We know that the inclination of our heart is towards evil. In other words, we know that our flesh is going to long for that which satisfies it. And so we need to beware of this subtle influence of sin that can infiltrate our lives. What are we doing now that allows the subtle influence of sin to infiltrate our lives? Maybe you didn't think it was a big deal. You didn't think that sin was really that big of a deal, but sin is starting to take hold upon your life. This sin is starting to affect your life, and it's a bigger deal than maybe you thought it was at the beginning. How are you and I this morning defiled? Well, that's a strong word, is it not? Defiled? How am I defiled this morning? Well, that is a strong word. But what does it do? It causes us to feel a compulsion to cleanse ourselves from those filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Filthiness of the flesh, those things that we do, our actions, sins of our hands, and filthiness of the spirit, sins of attitude, sins of the heart. You know, Paul used those same two words in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so we have to be aware, and we need to realize that sin can so easily infiltrate our lives, and that will bring us to a compulsion to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Everything that is you or I needs to be cleansed this morning, even as believers. So we may look fine this morning. We may act fine this morning. But what about the inside? All right? That's a fair question. And that's a biblical question. What filthiness exists in my life? What filthiness exists in your life? Because we need Christ's cleansing. And once we recognize that sin can easily infiltrate our lives, we can understand the incompatibility of sin in our lives as a believer. Okay? Sin doesn't belong in our lives. It doesn't belong there. Sin is incompatible with holiness. All right? We wonder why we're not growing. We wonder why we're not getting victory. We wonder why we're not getting things out of God's word. It's because there is not room sometimes in our hearts for the word of God. All right? Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read this to you, but Paul gives us exhortation. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient." All right? In other words, it's unbecoming as a saint to be anything less than clean. That's what Paul's saying. All right? Don't let these things not even be once named among you, because it's unbecoming for a Christian to be unclean. And so here in 2 Corinthians 7:1, we can kind of see how sin is incompatible to holiness. And in verse 1, it says, "Having therefore these promises." That word therefore forces us to look back and see what is going on. All right? And if we read, and we'll read here verses 14 through 18 of chapter 6, we see that the idea that sin doesn't fit with holiness. Verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he asks a series of questions, these rhetorical questions that are very simple to answer. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What's the answer to that question? None. There's no fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And so Paul asks these questions, trying to solidify the point that sin is incompatible with holiness. They have no communion. And so that's what he's trying to get us to see. So let us cleanse ourselves. Why? Because our holiness that we receive in Christ, the holiness that we are capable of in Christ, is not compatible with sin. All right? It is contaminated by the presence of sin, even the smallest thing. What does Paul say? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay? In New Testament times, they would make bread daily. Okay? You couldn't freeze it, store it. It would mold and different things quickly. So as they would make bread, they would always save a portion of that leavened dough, and they would keep it, and they would add it to the dough, the fresh dough they were making on the next day. And that little bit of leaven, when it came in contact with that new dough before it had risen and so forth, it would infiltrate. And so even the littlest of sin can infiltrate our lives. And so we are not called to sin, we are called to holiness. So here's the first reason. We are to cleanse ourselves because holiness is easily contaminated by the presence of sin. Sin easily infiltrates our lives, and sin is incompatible with holiness. Number two, we should cleanse ourselves knowing that holiness is personally realized in my life through the fear of God. Holiness is personally realized through the fear of God. Okay? Here's the point. Unless I fear the Lord, I'm not going to be holy. Unless I fear the Lord, I am not going to be holy. The fear of God helps us in our holiness. Okay? The book of Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The Wilds, the young people maybe remember this from Rand Humble. How do you define the fear of the Lord? Hating what God hates and loving what God loves. All right? That's what fearing God is. It's a definition. Hating what God hates and loving what God loves. And so where the question was, let us cleanse ourselves, why should we do that? The answer being because hearts are easily contaminated by sin. Now the question to let us cleanse ourselves is how? How do I cleanse myself? If I need to be cleansed, how do I do this? How do I battle with this sin? How do I get victory over anger or get control over my thoughts? Or how do I stifle anxiety in my life? Well, our text gives us the answer. It's broad, it works for everything, but it's also specific, it can work for you. And so how do we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit? By perfecting holiness in the fear of God, by fearing God, by living in an understanding of who God is. What did Isaiah do in Isaiah chapter 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he said he viewed the seraphims around the throne of God, crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when he saw that, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. See, when Isaiah saw God for who he was, what did he do? He feared God. He had a reverence for God. And that reverence for God caused him to be motivated towards personal holiness and personal brokenness. And so the principle is the same for us. When we see God for who he is, we have a fighting chance for holiness. If we are not in God's word, seeing his commands, seeing his character, seeing his justice demands holiness, we are going to lack what we need to be holy. Okay, the flesh will get the best of us. The spirit will be willing, but the flesh will be weak because we don't have the fear of God in our lives. We need the fear of God. It's the first step to wisdom and understanding. Okay. You and I, Christian, within ourselves, we cannot move forward successfully towards holiness without the fear of God. So that's where we need to start. We need to start with God. Because if God is in us, if God's Spirit is working in us, and if we are seeing God as He has revealed Himself to us, the fear of God will be developed in our lives. Okay? Here's the reality many times in my life and maybe in your life. We sin and there is filthiness in our lives because we don't care what God thinks. We don't care what God thinks about things. And because we don't care what God thinks, we don't fear Him and care about what He thinks, then we make choices that grieve Him, that separate ourselves from Him. But if we did fear God, if we did care what God thinks, would you agree that there is enough in this Bible to produce godliness in our lives? If we really cared what God thought that there is enough that God has given to us in His Word and His Spirit that we could be godly, we could grow in godliness as we care about what He thinks. And so we perfect holiness in the fear of God, and that gives us hope. There is hope. Right? Through the fear of God and the reverence of God in our lives and caring about what God thinks, we can be transformed. Will we be perfect? No, we won't be perfect. But we're perfecting, we're maturing in godliness, right? We're moving forward in godliness. And so holiness can be realized. We can be going down this path of spiritual growth and holiness when we begin to grow in our understanding and fear of the Lord. So what do? We need to start framing life in the context of who God is and what He thinks, right? And if we frame life within the context of who God is and what He thinks and how He thinks as revealed in our lives, when we make that a priority in our lives, we can be moving towards the path of perfecting holiness in the fear of God, okay? And so why do we need to be cleansed? Because our lives, our holiness is easily contaminated by sin, all right? Hence the exhortation, cleanse yourselves. And not only that, but we need to be cleansed because personal holiness begins with our fear of God. And then the last reason why we need to be cleansed, let us cleanse ourselves knowing that holiness is greatly motivated by the promises of God. Holiness is greatly motivated by the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. There's another verse of Scripture that would encourage us and tell us that these promises do help us in this area of cleansing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let me read these for the sake of time. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. Okay, God in His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Why did God give these exceeding great and precious promises? That by these promises, ye may be partakers of the divine nature. Paul's saying the same thing. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And so the promises of God greatly motivate us to grow in our holiness. All right, so the Bible gives us the big picture of how we get victory over sin, all right, and are cleansed by fearing God, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But it also gives us some specific promises that are going to lend a hand in our battle against sin. All right, if we want to be clean, it is going to help us to know what promises that God has given to us. That's the point. If we're going to be clean as believers, it's going to help us to know what promises God has given to us, all right? What are those promises? Well, here's where our chapter divisions sort of sometimes challenge us a little bit. Because When this letter was written, it wasn't written in chapters. It was a letter. When the scriptures were translated here, the translators divided them into chapters. But really, the flow of thought continues from chapter 6 into what we have as chapter 7. It's a continuation of thought. We already read about these questions that Paul asked about what communion hath light with darkness, what concord hath Christ with Satan? None. All right, there's no compatibility between sin and holiness. We've already read that, but now look at the promises that he gives here, starting at the end of verse 16, middle of verse 16. All right, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And so God says, listen, there's no communion with sin and holiness. They are incompatible. So you make the choice to choose God and choose what it's right. And when you take the choice to separate for yourself from sin, he gives us some promises. He says, I will be with you. I will tabernacle with you. I will indwell you. In other words, God will indwell us, give us this new heart so we are able to keep his word. I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and you will be my people. I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters. So those are the promises that Paul gave these Corinthian believers as they struggled with sin. And he said, listen, if you choose to separate yourself from sin, God says he will be your father. You will be his people. He'll walk with you. He'll dwell with you. And he gave them these promises that would motivate them to be cleansed daily. Okay? So think about this. Knowing that God dwells in me and I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Knowing that God dwells in me and I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, knowing that promise, I should be motivated to be cleansed, right? Right? Knowing that God is among us as his people, we are his people. Knowing that God is among us as his people, we should cleanse ourselves. Knowing that God said he would be our God and we would be his people, let us cleanse ourselves. We are the people of this holy God. Knowing that God will receive us when we come out to him, knowing that there will be this intimacy with him through purity, we should cleanse ourselves. See? And so because those realities, those promises in our lives, they should motivate us to cleanse ourselves. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Recognizing the joy of this blessed relationship, let us cleanse ourselves. He wants to have this close, intimate relationship as a son or daughter with a father. God wants to have that. And having that promise, we should cleanse ourselves. So holiness is greatly motivated by the promises of God, which are fulfilled in Christ. Because God has done this, the logical conclusion would be, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And so this morning, we have to ask ourselves some questions. For those that might be here that know not Christ, have you ever asked God for cleansing? Have you ever asked God for his washing of your sin that you might have a relationship with him? Christian, did you ask God for cleansing for that sin that so easily besets you? Have you done that this week? Have you asked God for cleansing for that sin that just sort of wrecked you this week? That just made you feel unclean or unworthy or not a very good Christian? Have you asked God for forgiveness? When did you last evaluate your filthiness? When did we last evaluate and ask the Spirit of God to search us and try us and evaluate our filthiness? When did it last bother us that we were filthy or defiled? When did you last realize that you needed cleansing? Or have you built up an immunity to your sin? Have we become accustomed to living a subpar Christian life with a level of minimal defilement? That's not the goal. The goal is be holy as I am holy. It's not this subpar life of kind of anything kind of goes and this level of minimal defilement in our lives. That's not God's goal for us. We are to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are to be striving for the full measure of holiness. So this morning, the admonition is to choose cleansing this morning. Unbeliever, choose that Christ's righteousness is enough to cleanse you from your sin. Christ came and died and shed his blood, that you, through faith in him, can be cleansed, can be washed, and you can have a relationship with this holy, sinless God. And after you do that, then you go forward perfecting holiness in the fear of God, clinging to his promises and fearing him. Believer, maybe this morning you just need a moment of confession. And maybe your first prayer should be this: Lord, show me my sin. Search me and try me and see if there would be any wicked way in me. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Lord, show me, because I want to know, because I want to be clean. I want to be one that is walking with you and fellowshipping with you. So Lord, show me my sin. Or maybe this morning you just need to get your focus on who God is. And you need the fear of God, because apart from fearing God and being concerned about what God thinks in your life, then holiness will never be perfected in your life unless you do that. And so go to his word and see how he reveals himself, and have your mind recalibrated as it relates to right and wrong through his word. And then maybe this morning we need to find hope and motivation to holiness in his promises. In his promises. The promises of God will be a means whereby we can be motivated to holiness. Even 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, I don't think any of us lived a sin-free week, did we? Not a one of us. All right? The question is, are we letting sin go unnoticed in our lives? Just like those comfortable pair of jeans or sweatpants or whatever they might be. They've become soiled and we've just sort of be comfortable with that. And we're not aware because we're not allowing the Spirit of God to search us. And we've allowed things to come into our lives this week, that subtle influence of sin, and soil our hearts. And we need to be cleansed this morning based upon what Christ has already done for us. And so would you bow your head, hearts with me? And isn't it wonderful that we can go to the Lord and we can seek his cleansing and experience his cleansing in our lives? So Jen's just going to play through a song. And would you stand, and we'll close in prayer after we just allow Jen to play. We're standing with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe in your heart and mind there's something that you're asking God to cleanse and work and wash through the blood of Jesus Christ based upon what he has done on the cross. Father, I'm sure we're all aware this morning that as it relates to our sin and sinfulness, there's nothing that we can really do to alleviate that sin, to alleviate that alienation from you because of sin. I think we all easily understand that. There may be things that we can do to make ourselves feel better. There's things we can do to excuse ourselves and to work through things in what we might think is a logical manner. But Father, we pray we'll allow the Spirit of God to search us and to try us. We'll allow the truth of God, the person of God, to reveal those things in our lives that are not pleasing and honoring to you. Things that are maybe sometimes very subtle that can go unnoticed in our lives, but yet nonetheless is sin. Nonetheless, it affects our godliness and our holiness and our walk with you. So Father, we pray that you'd bring those things to our mind by your grace and your Spirit. And in bringing them to our minds, we will understand that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That, Father, we would claim your promises, that as we come to you, that you will not despise or turn from a broken and contrite heart. That when we agree with you about our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Father, you want us to be holy as you are holy, but yet we cannot do that again within ourselves. We rest in the cross of Christ and what you accomplished on our behalf. May we live in that grace. May we live in that mercy each day as we seek to please you and grow in our godliness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.